Hello again, and welcome back to the Slow Flowers Podcast with Deborah Prinzing, episode 192. This is the podcast about American flowers and the people who grow and design with them. It's all about making a conscious choice, and I invite you to join the conversation and the creative community. This podcast is brought to you by slowflowers.com, the free nationwide online directory to florists, shops, and studios who design with American-grown flowers, and to the farms that grow those blooms. It's the conscious choice for buying and sending flowers. And a special thanks to our lead sponsor for 2015, the California Cut Flower Commission, committed to making a difference as an advocate for American-grown flowers. Learn more at ccfc.org. Today's guest is an up-and-coming leader in cut flower farming in the state of California and in the U.S. American-grown movement. I met Tony Ortiz last year when he and his father, Joseph Ortiz Sr., were part of a delegation of U.S. flower farmers who traveled to Washington, D.C. for meetings with their members of Congress. And this year, I went again, and Tony was part of that delegation, and we got to know each other better. And I insisted on scheduling a visit to his farm. Joseph & Sons, founded by Mr. Ortiz Sr., is based in Santa Paula, California, in Ventura County, where flowers are field-grown. I always have a soft spot in my heart for field-grown flowers. As a gardener, I love to see roots in the soil. So I was excited to schedule a tour of Joseph & Sons' operation when I was in Southern California last month. Flowers are grown here across 58 acres, as well as in more than 1 million square feet of greenhouses. To get to Joseph & Sons, you drive north from Los Angeles on the Ventura Freeway, which is also called Highway 101, and you turn east once you hit the city of Ventura. I felt quite a bit of nostalgia heading up to Santa Paula, traveling on that same route that I drove for 4 years when our family lived in Thousand Oaks between 2006 and 2010. So many familiar landmarks brought a flood of memories along with the sunshine that required me to wear sunglasses, which is not something that happens much in the winter up here in Seattle. At Highway 126, I turned east, away from the Pacific Ocean, and headed inland. After a few miles, I exited and made my way through agricultural fields filled with everything from nursery plants to food crops. I arrived at Joseph & Sons on Telegraph Road, where Tony met me and led me on a tour of the flower processing and packing facility. Then we headed outdoors, along the rows of high tunnels that protect tidy rows of Joseph & Sons flowers, including beautiful amaranthus, bells of Ireland, delphinium, larkspur, lisianthus, stock, snapdragons, and status, among many other popular flowers. As you'll hear in my interview with Tony, Joseph & Sons also farms in two other California regions, in Lompoc, in Central California, where Joseph & Sons has 280 acres of field-grown flowers year-round, and in Imperial Valley, in San Diego County, where the company grows 75 acres of seasonal flowers. Joseph & Sons is a certified American-grown flower farm selling flowers across the U.S. The family-owned and operated business has more than 50 years of growing and shipping experience. Founded by Joseph Sr., a man who allegedly was born with a green thumb that others have tried in vain to duplicate, these flower growers are dedicated to making sure the best practices are followed. Please enjoy my conversation with Tony and check out DeborahPrinzing.com to view clips from two videos created by our friend Jay Schwanke of UBloom, featuring the story of Joseph & Sons Flower Farm on film. The first is an episode that's part of the California Grown Experience video series, and the second is a fabulous music video Jay created for International Happy Day, in which flower farmers rock it to the lyrics of Happy by Pharrell Williams. Look closely, and you'll see today's guest moving quite magnificently as he dances among the American-grown flowers on his farm. Many other Ortiz family members appear in the fun video, too. Welcome back to the Slow Flowers Podcast with Deborah Prinzing. I'm so happy to be at Joseph & Sons in Santa Paula, California, and my guest today is Tony Ortiz. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Deborah.
It's good to be with you.
Thanks for having me here.
You bet. Operations manager.
Yes.
But you wear a lot of hats here.
I do.
And is that because it's a family business?
Yes. Well, we have, of course, our parents in the business that are very active. even though
Joseph, the Joseph of Joseph and Sons, right?
Yes.
And your mom's name is
Mercedes.
Oh, I love that name. Okay.
And then my oldest brother Joe, who's our sales manager, and then Julie, who is also in sales but also wears many hats as well.
Your sister.
And, yes.
Okay. But altogether, there's seven of you.
Yes, seven total in the family. Three in the business.
Okay. And then you. And then, but altogether, how big? How would you describe the size in terms of acreage or number of employees or number of crops? What, give us a sense of the size of the business.
The size of the business, well, we currently have about 60 employees in two areas. Right now it's Lompoc with the stock in Larkspur.
And that's all field grown, right?
All field grown.
And stock and Larkspur are kind of year-round crops for you up in Lompoc.
Yes.
Is that right?
And Lompoc during the summer months and down in Imperial Valley during the winter months. And here in Santa Paula, we have about 75 acres total, and it's all cut flowers. Here in Santa Paula, we mostly grow snaps, lisianthus, amaranthus, belladonna, green ball, so a lot more of the hoop house variety. But again, it's all field grown.
Like, we noticed that because you toured me around. It's in the soil. It's just that the hoop house is achieves some protection and some control, right?
Yes, definitely. So we have more control of the temperature of disease and insect pressure. So we have that quality product for the customer year round.
Your product is such high quality.
Thank you.
I am in love with it. And your father just gave me a bouquet to bring home, so I'll make sure I bring home to my host who I'm staying with tonight. We'll put it in a vase and take photos. But there's something special about field-grown crops, I guess, because there's this romance of what is flower farming. People maybe don't think of greenhouses as one way that flowers are grown, but the field is sort of that romance. I love that the birds are singing above us. What are they upset about? We're making them nervous.
Right.
Well, we're sitting under a tree and just trying to be outside to get some ambiance here, so it's better than the dog barking.
Right.
So the field grown is how your dad has always grown flowers, though, right?
Oh, yes. Ever since I can remember, it's always been field grown. And the great thing about my dad's story is that he's worked his way up from the ground up and would be happy to do it all over again.
Yeah. Should we tell his story? We won't embarrass him too much if
you
share it.
No, I won't embarrass him too much. Quite a few stories that I've heard of him growing up. They may be tall tales. They may be reality.
They're in the lore of the Ortiz family.
Yes. One story in particular that stands out to me about how much of a hard worker that my dad has been is, you know, in the mornings you'll get that fog that settles in, and so sometimes with the fog and with the irrigation the night before, the soil will be muddy, and some of the workers would show up with their boots or rubber boots, but my dad instead, he'll just take his shoes and socks off and harvest barefoot.
And does he feel like that's like gentler on the soil, and he's not going to trash anything with bare feet?
He won't trip on his own feet by collecting all the mud on his boots. So
won't weigh him down.
Mm-hmm. And another story that I remember is him being just the fastest harvester. Nobody could come close to the amount of bunches that he could produce. And he's just the type to, you know, if he's on the tractor for 1 hour and another hour harvesting, another hour just irrigating, it just get the job done. It doesn't matter who's involved.
He's the owner, and he's out there working side by side with the crew.
Yes.
And you were telling me when we were on our way to lunch that he came to the U.S. Through some kind of special visa program for agriculture workers. And when was that?
That was many years ago.
Okay.
But with my grandfather, they would come up during the season and
from Mexico,
and my grandfather, he preferred harvesting lemons and other vegetables. And my dad had a different approach. And so he got a hold of a family friend and came to work for a gentleman by the name of Bob Stimming, who was my dad's boss, who's like a father to him.
Mm-hmm.
And
another cut flower farmer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And worked his way from a harvester to a tractor driver to a foreman. He just did anything and everything that needed to be done. And
He had a strong work ethic then.
Yes. He could work 8 days a week if there was a chance to.
Wow.
And so then he decided to take a chance to do his own business. And it worked out for a few years, but then decided to part ways. And so now Joseph and Sons, 10 years in.
Okay.
Last year. Has been interesting to see the changes. And it's been a very, very great opportunity to be in the family business, because it there's some big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
And just being a part of everything has definitely made me aware of how much of an impact that we, you know, just being flower growers,
yeah,
has on just people all across the states. I mean, our product goes mostly to the East Coast, and so for someone in New York to get California American grown flowers,
to see the box that says Joseph and Sons,
see the
right?
box that says Joseph and Sons, to know that that bouquet of flowers that'll eventually be made at a florist is going to make some guy's girlfriend very happy.
Well, I was impressed when we were walking through one of the packing area and the boxes. First of all, I love that you're actually able to ship in with these stems in water. I think that's profoundly smart. I mean, that's probably helps the freshness, right?
Oh yes, definitely. So when the boxes get packaged and palletized, if the customer chooses to have them in Proconas, they'll get shipped that way. Definitely keeps the flowers hydrated,
yeah,
throughout the shipping process in the cold chain with the refrigerated trucks. So when they get to their destination in New Jersey or New York, you know, they have great quality flowers that they can pretty much sell out of the Proconas.
Yeah, you're right, because they're still in water. Mm-hmm. And that the labels were like Kentucky, Louisiana, Missouri, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania. I mean, that these, especially, okay, it's early April still. Many of those places don't have local flowers yet, so you're filling the continuum of domestic flowers, especially in the winter months for those destinations.
Yes.
And how many states do you think you're selling into now?
I haven't checked, but I think I would say we probably sell to close to about 25, mm-hmm, 26 states.
Wow. Is this your goal now, to dominate?
I should. I would love to see our flowers go to every single state. And, you know, we do sell to Hawaii, Canada.
Wow. And you sell here in L.A., right?
And L.A., yeah, as well.
So when you were talking about all this sort of, I guess I would call it modern technology of shipping in water and palletizing and, you know, keeping the cold chain. When your dad started, there was none of that, right? You were telling me how he just grew, harvested, loaded the truck, drove to L.A. I mean, that wasn't that long ago, a couple decades ago, right? That was how people did it.
Right. The L.A. market was a big thing, and it was all just about harvesting, putting the flowers in buckets of water and taking it down to L.A. And the cold chain, I guess, wasn't around very long.
Well, it was only a couple hours away, right?
Yeah.
So maybe that's why it didn't matter so much.
It's only about an hour away. So,
yeah.
Just to get it done and get the flowers sold was top priority.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's seen the arrival of all these high-tech ways of selling flowers that he sometimes will shake his head and think, it wasn't this hard before. It was hard in different ways, probably.
Yeah, he always says to me how much business has changed throughout the years, that he's aware of everything that has changed, but he does just shake his head at all the new laws, the new regulations,
sure,
to the amount of change that has come to effect to do business.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's progress, but it comes with a price.
It does.
Yeah. So we're here in Santa Paula, and this is sort of your home base, right?
Yes.
The business is sort of headquartered here. And then you were saying that sometimes you're bringing product from the other two areas, from up north and down south. They still come here for fulfilling orders, or are you shipping out of Lompoc and Imperial Valley as well?
Everything gets sent back here to Santa Paula.
It's probably better for quality control, isn't
definitely,
it?
Definitely, yeah. Uh-huh. It gets transported here in a refrigerated truck, and then we'll unload it and put it in the coolers, and they'll stay there overnight, 12 hours sometimes. Coolers will go down to about 37 degrees, make sure it gets nice and cold. And,
kind of stabilizes the flowers. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Definitely. And then in the mornings, they'll get the orders out and start boxing the flowers up, and then they'll get sent out to their truck lines.
And trucks come here to pick up for various customers, right? Like the wholesalers and
yes,
distributors.
It'll be either like a truck line with either a whole trailer or just a bobtail truck. They'll bring the trucks and then ship them out to the hubs, or they'll just go directly to the customer.
How many stems a day are you guys moving? Do you have any sense?
No.
He's shaking his head. That would be, I mean, you probably think of it more like truckloads versus individual stems. Because we were calculating on that pallet we looked at, which uh-huh. was stock, right?
Yes.
There were 1,200 individual stems on that pallet.
Yes.
So that's just an example of the quantity, the sheer volume mm-hmm. that you're moving. And then, depending on the size of the truck, you're putting 20 or so pallets on a truck.
A truck will fit about 10 pallets.
Oh, 10, okay.
A semi will fit, I think it's about 20.
Okay, wow.
But it the amount of stems that get shipped out is mind-boggling because it's so many boxes. And, of course, it's all the different sizes, whether it's a water pack or a hamper or a half box.
They're just the different ways you can configure bunches.
Oh, yeah.
And you're mainly selling straight bunches, right?
Yes, it's all straight bunches.
Okay. Is that just more efficient and more economical than trying to run a mixed bouquet business? That's just not your business.
No, that's just not what we do. That's uh-huh. not who we are.
Do you sell to bouquet makers?
That's...
Maybe you don't know.
Maybe I don't
know. Yeah.
So.
Like, people may buy it and assemble it, the flowers.
Oh, yeah.
Like at the grocery mm-hmm. store level.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I was interested in is when we were walking around the fields, you were making very specific comments about crops that over the years you've phased in and phased out. But you said your dad started with larkspur and stock.
Yes.
Those are sort of the core Joseph & Sons product you've always had.
That's who we are. That's our identity, is the stock and larkspur.
And in those spectrums, how many different, are there like a half a dozen different colors? Or how do you, like, what's the most popular of those varieties?
It's always white and purple.
Really?
Definitely. For the stock, noticed a big shift with the demand for peach.
Yes.
These last few years has been a big peach demand.
It is so true in every floral category. Mm-hmm. So bring on the peach, right?
Yes, we've adjusted. We've adjusted our growing numbers, our amount of acreages. We get together, Joe, my brother, and our grower, Ventura, and we'll discuss acreages and amounts of rows that we need to fulfill orders. We'll look back at the previous quarter, the previous year, look at the numbers.
Yeah.
And then we'll determine if certain colors need to be adjusted for more.
Because of the demand.
For the demand, yes. Yeah.
Wait, when you said white and purple, that was more on the larkspur side then, right?
That's for both, the
okay.
stock and larkspur.
Does larkspur is not have as much diversity of color as the stock?
No, larkspur has about 5 different colors, and stock could have about 12
yeah.
different colors.
And then I was impressed that you're growing amaranth. It's the drooping amaranth, not the upright variety. You're doing the green and then the dark maroon,
red.
Or is it, you call it red?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't, I actually can't say that I've never known a large scale commercial flower farmer to grow that. Is that just something your customers ask for?
Yes. I believe at one point in time we were growing the standing upright amaranthus. Mm-hmm. And for some reason it just didn't do well. And so we switched to the hanging amaranthus, and that one seems to...
Oh, it's great.
It's a steady, it's beautiful.
It is. It's beautiful. And so, like, the color's awesome. It's just a good quality product.
And it's simple, too. It's just the green and the red, but it's just so, it's so pretty that, clean it's always been a year-round product that we have.
Well, the one thing I learned from you today is that it is also excellent rabbit food.
Yes.
So you had to take measures on those high tunnels to... is it just for the amaranth that you're trying to...
Yes, just the amaranthus that we have to protect them.
With the rabbit fencing almost.
We do a little makeshift fence just until they're a certain stage and then...
Otherwise, it's like a salad bar for
it
rabbits.
It is. It's all you can eat.
You know, by the way, when I lived in Thousand Oaks, I found out that Conejo Valley means... that Conejo means rabbit.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, that's why there's so many rabbits in my backyard. And the I'm having a little memory lane moment here, but my dog, my lab, would lay on the back porch and just look at those rabbits like, oh, interesting. It's not... come on in. Help yourself to all of Deb's plants. Not a garden. Not, dogs don't chase rabbits, do they? Or my dog didn't, at least. I was disappointed in that. But yeah, you have rabbits naturalizing here.
It has been a little bit of a nuisance.
The delphinium are also amazing here.
Thank you. You
were saying there's two heights. The belladonna is the shorter one.
Yes.
And there's certain people who want that because of the type of design work they're doing.
Right. The hybrid delphinium can grow very, very tall, upwards about 7 feet, whereas the belladonna grows about 2.5 feet.
You're right. You showed me some that were 7 feet. Now, who's going to buy that? Some kind of special event florist? Or
it could be a special event. It could be used for a special design or...
Not for a bridal bouquet, but something more like an installation.
Right.
And then, so you're... anyway, just to finish that thought, you were saying that the belladonna is right now kind of a higher demand for that than the tall ones. And is that right? Did I hear you say that? In the delphinium?
Yes. The belladonna seems to just stand out a little bit more. The dark blue is such a vibrant color.
Yeah.
That
it's iridescent.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm just kind of going through my memory here of the flowers that blew my mind. I think your green trick dianthus is very awesome and healthy and like full heads. It was labeled as a novelty product, but you're growing it and selling it consistently.
Yes.
And there's a demand that's consistent around the country. You laughing at our little dog?
Yeah.
It's okay. We get a lot of dogs on this podcast.
Yeah, that's great.
Ambient noise.
The dianthus green ball was...
green ball, not green trick. Is that the variety?
Yes.
Green ball, okay.
We were skeptical at first, and then it just sort of took off on its own. And it's gone about 2.5 years now with it. And it's done very well. And
so now it's a regular product.
It's a regular product now, yeah.
And then we have to... I'm probably missing some, but I know we saw some sunflowers today. Mm-hmm. But your personal favorite we haven't talked about. So let's talk about your snapdragons that you love so much. There's a... how many varieties do you grow?
About 15 varieties.
Gorgeous.
And they're just... there's so many to choose from. The yellows are just so bright, and then the reds are just so dark and vibrant.
Yeah, they almost have that... the color almost goes into the bud. Mm-hmm. As well as the flower. That's maybe what we were noticing on the tips. They're...
yes.
They're colored beautifully. Is the peach... is there a peach in the snapdragon realm, or is it more like a light pink?
There might be a peach.
Uh-huh.
I don't think
if there is, you'd find it, and someone would ask you to grow it. But those products ship very well too. So that's probably another... and they're durable.
Very durable, yeah. And I have I've developed a good habit, I guess you would call it, to take home some flowers about every week, and it just makes the house look so much and feel so much better.
Wait, are you a floral designer?
No. I could make a bouquet here and there. But
good job, no. Tony.
It's good. I like it. It definitely just makes the house feel like home.
Yeah.
And it smells really good, and it feels really good to have flowers on a dinner table.
Yeah. Or
displayed somewhere. And I'm very fortunate to be a part of the family business to have that, to be able to take a bunch home and make a bouquet. And,
yeah.
I'm very fortunate and happy to be a part of it.
You are, and you're also giving a lot back. I mean, you're kind of the next generation with this business. So you had left for college and then gone into the Air Force, and you hadn't had your whole other career that could have gone on forever and ever, but something drew you back to, was it your dad saying, get back into the business? Or, because this was about, what, 6 or 7 years ago?
Yes. A little bit of that. I would pretty much hear my dad talk about the business every time we spoke on the phone since the day I left the military. And 5.5 years later, I came back home and went to college back again. And then it just seemed like life happened with a blink of an eye that I needed to start working. And it just seemed like it felt right to help out.
Yeah, there was an opportunity here.
There's room to grow. My dad being a 73 now, he's looking on to our generation to carry on the family business. And, it's...
He still comes to work every day, doesn't he?
He comes every day.
Is he still sleeping in the truck when he's tired?
he still checks his fields and checks the product, and he'll talk to all the foremen, all the workers, and greet them all, crack a joke here and there, and sometimes he'll even help out with the harvest or the warehouse and the office. And so he's very active with the business still. And
well, I'm sure with the peak holidays, like Mother's Day is coming up, there's probably all hands on deck for something like that, right?
Oh yes, definitely. We let our guys know, hey, get ready, this is it's the big time of the year. Mother's Day is our big holiday. And
is it bigger than Valentine's Day?
Oh, it's a lot bigger.
Really?
We have about 10 days that are just nonstop, and we'll come in, and it seems like just boxing flowers all day long.
Wow.
But it's definitely a good feeling to see all those boxes get loaded up. And,
totally. You got to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Wow.
But also knowing that, these flowers are going to, for all the moms.
Yeah.
It's definitely such an overwhelming feeling to know that our flowers are used for
yeah.
Mother's Day. And,
yeah.
And it's... It's such a great feeling knowing that all the moms like yourself will get some amazing flowers and be reminded of saying thank you to all the moms out there that do all the hard work. Or
does your mother get flowers, or does she say, forget it, I don't want them?
We'll try to get her different flowers.
Try to surprise her?
try to surprise her, yes. But no, if...
That's
she,
cute.
She'll get some flowers. But,
yeah, she married into the business.
Yes.
She doesn't have a choice. So what's coming up in the future? Do you have some... I know we were talking a little bit about changing some of your crops just based on, the cost of production. Some are more profitable than others. Are you always on the lookout for new varieties and new markets? Or are you kind of at a point where right now you're just managing growth within what you already have in the fields?
I would say both.
Uh-huh.
Just a little bit of both to be flexible for a new demand, whether it's the peach.
Yes.
Whether it's...
You're smart. You're smart to be there.
Or whether it's, figuring out that a crop just isn't working out for us for whatever reason. Or maybe
yeah.
there's a new variety to test out. We're always open to trying out something new. And
And you've got this beautiful growing condition, so you do run trials?
We do.
Uh-huh.
Just the Dianthus Green Ball, that was a trial that was...
let's try a few hundred and see how they mm-hmm. do. Wow.
Well, we tried Matsumoto Asters
oh, right.
for a while, and towards the end, it didn't really pan out very well, so that was one crop that we...
It's kind of a finicky crop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting. But, and you know, the thing is that you have to be smart about it. And what I'm hearing is you're not trying to be all things to all people. You're just trying to be really good in key categories. And there's so much room to do business in those categories. You don't want to chase the unprofitable crops.
Right.
And now you're certified American grown.
Yes.
So let's wrap up with that. So the way I got to know, just for the listeners here to get a little backstory, the way I got to know Tony is that for 2 years in a row, I've joined him and many of the flower farmers on the D.C. fly-in to go meet members of Congress and their staffs and just raise awareness of American-grown flowers and domestic cut flower industry. So you've been on the government relations committee for the California Cut Flower Commission. Is that how you got drawn into this having to put a suit and tie on and go to D.C.?
Well, it started a few years back with my first fly-in with my dad. He had invited me to join, and it's just been such a huge change from that first fly-in till the last one that we had. The amount of progress that has been made has just been amazing, and with everyone's hard work, you know, the American Grown label has definitely become something that has it has a name of itself.
It's another way to identify where your flowers the brand, I guess, of the flowers.
Right.
Yeah.
And then people will see the brand and they'll want to know more about the grower, more about where the farm is.
And so you were talking about your new sleeves. You'll have Joseph and Sons as well as Certified American Grown on the sleeve.
Yes. We're working on that.
I think that's great because then you really don't lose your farm identity.
Right. I'm excited to see that. It's
that's a big deal.
It's been a long time coming for that, and it's been a lot of hard work from a lot of different people to have that opportunity to do just that on the sleeves and have the labeling done.
Well, the program is not even a year old, so you're one of the early adopters to do that. You're being leaders in that, and I applaud you guys for
it. Thank you.
Because it's an investment, but I think that with certain markets, that's going to really be a plus for your customers as well, because it's educating them.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, I have had such a wonderful time. Thank you for hosting me.
Thank you, Deborah.
It's been fun.
Yes.
And I hope that we can put photos from my visit today, as well as maybe you'll share some other photos.
Of course.
And links to your website. And I know you don't sell to the public, but if someone's in the business and they want Joseph and Sons flowers, they can ask their wholesaler to source them from you.
Yes.
And maybe even in a new state.
Of course. And I'm more than welcome to do that, yes.
That sounds great. This has been fun. Thank you so much,
Tony.
Thank you,
Deborah.
And thanks for lunch at In-N-Out Burger.
Of course. That was
highlight of my week.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining me this week, and please return again as I continue to share insightful and educational episodes recorded exclusively for the Slow Flowers podcast. Listeners like you have downloaded this podcast more than 46,000 times. Until next week, please join me in putting more American-grown flowers on the table, one vase at a time. And if you like what you hear, please consider logging onto iTunes and posting a listener review. The content and opinions expressed here are either mine alone or those of my guests alone, independent of any podcast sponsor or other person, company, or organization. The Slow Flowers podcast is engineered and edited by Andrew Wheatley and Hannah Holt-Gertz. Learn more about their work at shellandtree.com.